On November 25th of 1956, Thomas Hotard was found murdered in the back of his car that was parked near Lake Pontchartrain in Louisiana. His lover, Audrey Mote, had been seen in the car with him that day, but was not in the vehicle when Hotard's body was found. As authorities investigated, they found evidence at the scene that suggested that she had fled the scene as another person in boots came after her. Who killed Thomas and why has Audrey never been found? This is the mystery of Thomas Hotard and Audrey Mote. This is Southern Mysteries.
It's gonna be all right. These ain't dark or troubled times. It's a day like any other day. You got a dark and troubled mind, all right. You hold that baby tight, and I swear if you can hear me, then everything gonna be just fine, all right. All right. All right.
Welcome to Southern Mysteries, exploring historical mysteries and legendary figures of the American South. I'm your host, Shannon Ballard. Secrets and lies can kill relationships. In the case of Thomas Hotard and Audrey Mote, their secret may have led to the death of Thomas and the disappearance of Audrey in St. John Baptist Parish, Louisiana, in 1956. Thomas Hotard worked as an engineer for a local chemical company, Celotex, which is where he met Audrey Mote in 1950. She was working as a clerk at the company at the time. Thomas was a 46-year-old married father of two when he met Audrey, a 31-year-old divorced mother of three. Thomas and his wife, Beulah, lived in nearby Gretna, Louisiana. Audrey had been living in Baton Rouge until there was a strike at their company. When that happened, Thomas encouraged Audrey to move into his family's home for a few months until the strike ended and she could get on her feet again at a new job. Even after Audrey moved out of the home, she and Thomas were very close friends, and they spent a lot of time together, planning and overseeing scouting events. Their romance was a deeply hidden secret. Audrey and Thomas lied to their families, saying they had to work on Saturdays. In truth, the lovers agreed to a romantic rendezvous in their favorite spot, Frenier Road, along the shore of Lake Pontchartrain. They would meet, get into Thomas's blue 1953 Nash Rambler, and travel down a desolate one-lane gravel road to the lake. When they reached the lake, they would pass by a clearing with cypress trees around the swamp. There was a small clearing at the end of the road that provided Thomas just enough room to turn his car around and park near the water. It was their favorite spot. On November 24th of 1956, a hunter, Mr. Henry Monterey, and his son noticed a blue sedan parked at Frenier Road. Henry noticed a man and woman moving around in the back of the car, so he quickly moved on. The next day, Mr. Monterey and his son returned to the area to hunt again, and they noticed the same car in the same location. Now, this was a secluded area, and it was rare to see a car parked for more than one day. So Mr. Monterey decided to approach the car to see if someone was having car trouble. As he approached, he noticed the contents of a woman's purse on the ground, but he didn't see a woman around. He then noticed the right door of the car was open and the right front seat was lying back. He was horrified to see a man lying face down, covered with blood. He looked again, trying to see if the woman was in the area, but all he saw were traces of a woman having been there with female clothing and shoes found on the floor of the car. Mr. Monterey quickly left the area and went to the home of the local sheriff to tell him what he had found. When the sheriff and investigators arrived on scene, they discovered the man had been shot with a shotgun and the pellets had passed through the side window, striking the victim in the back of the head. Authorities made note of a few important things at the crime scene that day. The car keys were still in the ignition. Leading from the car towards the woods were prints of bare feet, small enough to be a woman's. The prints were spaced far apart, indicating the woman had been running. Mingled with these were the tracks of a man's boots. 5 feet away from the scene of the crime was a place where it looked like a scuffle had taken place. On the ground, police found another set of keys. Now, the footprints ended at the road that leads to the main highway, and their investigators found a single tire track possibly from a motorcycle. There was no other physical evidence at the scene that day. 10 hours after the initial discovery, investigators found out that the woman who had been in the car was Audrey Mote. Audrey had been at a local cafe with Thomas on the day before. When police went to the cafe to investigate and search for Audrey, they found her car in the parking lot. And the keys that had been found on the grounds at the crime scene on Frenier Road, well, those keys turned out to be Audrey's car keys. Audrey Mote has not been seen since November of 1956. Thomas Hotard's killer has never officially been identified. In 1980, there was a new lead in the case when Ernest Acosta made a deathbed confession to his family that his common-law wife, Carolyn Schlesser, who had died just the year before, killed both Thomas and Audrey. Acosta confessed to helping dispose of Audrey's body. But Ernest Acosta's own daughter, Marvel, suspected that Ernest may have been the one who committed the murders, not Carolyn. Investigators worked the case and led new searches for Audrey's body, but the case, once again, went cold. There is someone who believes he knows who was responsible for Thomas's death, and he doesn't believe Audrey survived that day. He believes the same person killed Audrey.
I'm Lieutenant Wayne Norwood, retired. I started in law enforcement in 1962, and I started on this case in 1984.
Now, for people who aren't familiar with the landscape, can you describe the area where the murder and the disappearance happened?
It happened on the shores of Lake Pontchartrain, which is a big lake, and all behind Lake Pontchartrain was nothing but swamp. And it had just one gravel road that came from the main road that went through the swamp to the edge of Lake Pontchartrain. They would go down there every Saturday, and they went down there every Saturday for 4 years. And they had a blue 1953 Nash Rambler, and the seats would lay down in this Nash Rambler. So on that particular day, the seats were laid down. I'm sure that they were making love, and whoever did that at the time, he came and he put the shotgun, the doors was closed and the windows was up, and he put the shotgun right to the window and shot him in the back of the head, right at the base of the skull. The coroner then was Dr. Remy Gross, and I went and talked with him, and he said that the wadding from the shotgun shell and glass was embedded in the back of his skull. And you can see on the pictures that we've got that it was just a small hole in the window. So that means that the end of the shotgun was right at the window. If it would have been further away, it would have blown the whole window out.
So what's the theory as to what actually happened to Audrey on that day that Thomas was killed?
She must have jumped out and ran then, and her clothes were up underneath the front seat. The only thing that she had on a bra and a slip and nothing else. It was a gravel road, so she had ran down the gravel road a short ways. Then you could see the big boot prints, and then whenever he caught her, there were scuffle marks in the road where they had tussled around, I guess.
What do you think Ernest Acosta's motive would be to kill Thomas and Audrey?
This is my views on it, okay? They had gone to that location every Saturday for 4 years. And I think that the old man seen them there and looked in the window and saw what was going on and killed her and possibly raped her. What had happened, he lived about 3/4 mile down the road right on the railroad track, and it was just nothing but swamp in between. He didn't own the land right there where that happened, but he was kind of a real rough man, and people come around there hunting and stuff, he would try to run them off and all this and that. And later on, whenever I started working the case, I talked to his daughter. And his daughter told me that one day he was sick in the bed, and he said, I'd like for you to call all the family. I've got something to say. And he said, I want to tell you about what had happened with the murder. He said his wife, well, it was his common-law wife. He said she killed the man, and I went with her, and we brought the girl back. We had a fish box, an iron fish box in the canal, and we hid her in the fish box until everybody got through looking for her. And then the railroad went through right there. They was right by the railroad, and the railroad went through in 1850. But in 1862 or so, when they had the Civil War, the enemy forces came up and down. They had cannons every so far, New Orleans and Ponchatoula. And there was a cannon there. And after they got through looking for her, that they had stuffed her in the end of a cannon and pushed the cannon over. And he said, "I just wanted to get all this off my chest." What I really think happened, he knew he was dying. He wanted to get it all off his chest, and I think that he's the one that done it. The governor then was Earl Long, and he notified the National Guard for the search. And on Tuesday, November the 27th, 400 National Guardsmen, the Louisiana State Police, Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries, the Sheriff's Office, and volunteers, they all came and they searched that swamp couple of days. So you had that many people involved in the search, and that's why they couldn't find us. According to him, that they had her hid in that iron fish box.
Wayne, there have been rumors that Audrey had a child that may have been a love child with Thomas. Her mom did an interview after Audrey went missing and mentioned Audrey had gone off to St. Louis, had a nervous breakdown, came back with a baby. And Audrey and Thomas were close and in very close quarters with each other for years, working at Celotex together, and then the strike happening, and Audrey was said to have moved in with his family.
Yeah, she left. She worked there until there was a strike. She couldn't work there anymore, so she went ahead and quit, and she moved back to Baton Rouge with her mother. And then she got a job. She got a job at Kaiser in Gramercy. And then she kept seeing him. She had her driver's license, her Social Security, and all of her papers. She had them changed to Audrey Mote Hotard, using his last name. So in 1955, she left town, and she went to St. Louis, Missouri. And then she came back 9 months later and had a baby, and it was Thomas's baby.
Do you think Thomas's wife, Beulah, did find out about the affair and killed Thomas and Audrey?
No. The wife didn't know anything about none of this until after the murder. On the road, it was a gravel road. No cars had been in and out of there, and it's way over a mile down in there. When the sheriff at that time, he thought this was Thomas's wife because all the ID had his last name. So he went to the address. She used their address, their house. So when the sheriff went there to talk to her, he said that I wanted to tell you, ask who she was, and she told him that she was Thomas's wife. He said, "Well, no, she was killed, or she's missing," and the wife couldn't believe it. She couldn't believe it. So y'all made some kind of mistake. She just went berserk, you know.
What about this report that Audrey's ex-mother-in-law got a call from Audrey after she had gone missing? And what are the reports that have been out there saying there was a sighting of Audrey in New Orleans after her disappearance?
I made a half-hour movie with Unsolved Mysteries, and it showed a bunch of times. And I got letters from all over the United States, and I've still got a bunch of them, saying that they knew something about it and that she was been shot in the face. Somebody knew somebody that she was kind of hiding. When they shot him in the back of the head, some of the shot would naturally went in her face. And they said that they had worked with her and all, but that's not true. The roadway was dirt. And after the scuffle, you can see where somebody with big boots, and that's what he wore, was big old boots, and it just went into the edge of the swamp or the woods there and disappeared.
Now, Audrey's daughter, Deke, she was featured in a news report back in 2011. I believe it was 2011. And she said she had submitted DNA because remains had been found that could be her mother's remains. Now, have Audrey's remains been found?
No, I think she's in a cannon. And I know the location. And, in fact, we went just last year in the water there. But I didn't have a metal detector then. And So I've been needing to go back, and I haven't. So I know within a small area where the cannon's at. There was another cannon that was found in the lake not far from there. So there were cannons all up and down the railroad that went through there in 1850. I'm sure she's still in the cannon, in the water there.
Audrey's daughter, Deke, has again confirmed she has submitted DNA to Louisiana Missing Persons. She wanted her DNA available to authorities so they will have a familial DNA to test in the event that Audrey Mote's remains are found. Deke never lost hope that she'll be able to give her mother the final resting place she deserves. Until then, the mystery of who killed Thomas Hotard and what happened to Audrey Mote? Well, that mystery lies in the Louisiana Bayou. Southern Mysteries is hosted and produced by me, Shannon Ballard. I want to say a special thanks to Lieutenant Wayne Norwood for sharing his expertise and his knowledge of this case. You can read more about this case at southernmysteries.com. Thanks for listening.